We walked up to the courthouse steps, and we are confronted by the most unsightly group of people that you ever see outside the courtroom.
They were terrorists, and it was outrageous that the government of Canada allowed them to congregate there for the express purpose of trying to assassinate you.
Holocaust revisionist Ernst Zundel was assaulted by the JDL outside a Canadian court. His house was firebombed by the JDL, totaling over $400,000 in damages, but the JDL was never charged. He was later labeled a white supremacist and a threat to national security by the ADL and detained without trial despite having no criminal record. He was eventually deported to Germany, and at the age of 66, he was sentenced to 5 years of prison for Holocaust denial. 73-year-old German lawyer and free speech activist Horst Mahler was sentenced to 11 years in prison for Holocaust denial. Ernst Zundel and Horst Mahler's lawyer, Sylvia Stolz, was sentenced to 3.5 years in prison for representing them. She got out and enjoyed freedom for a few years. Then at the age of 52, she was sent back to prison for 20 months for Holocaust denial. British historian David Irving was sentenced to 3 years in prison for Holocaust denial.
For me to be standing here on trial for an opinion I expressed 16 years ago as a historian is ridiculous.
Ursula Haverbeck, an 87-year-old German grandmother, was sentenced to 10 months in prison for Holocaust denial. 87 years old.
You're Nazi apologists. Rewriting history. Go back and check what Hitler did.
And by needlessly and repeatedly offending Jewish people in this way, you not only betray our Labour values, but you betray your legacy as left.
English politician Ken Livingstone was harassed, attacked in the media, and suspended from the Labour Party for speaking about the 1933 Havara Transfer Agreement, where the Zionist Federation and the Jewish Agency paid Hitler to bring the German Jews to Palestine. This is simply historical fact which refutes what we were taught in school growing up.
Mr. Weinstein, you don't really think this man's a threat to national security, do you?
Excuse me?
Do you really think he's a threat to national security?
Absolutely.
Why?
He is a threat to national security of Canada. The reason why is because a couple of reasons. His unyielding support for the Hamas and the Hezbollah.
British Member of Parliament and anti-war activist George Galloway was banned from entering Canada by the JDL for speaking the truth about Israel.
I sit in the British Parliament. I've been elected 5 times, 23 years. If I was a terrorist or a security risk, you'd think either the Speaker of the House of Commons or the Homeland Security Division of the United States would have noticed.
So I'm sick and tired of our money being used to advance the interests of the United States and Israel. I stand here as the only person who has the courage to speak out for our people, and I'm going to do it loudly and clearly tonight. The war in Syria is a war to expand Israel. ISIS stands for Israeli Secret Intelligence Service.
New Constitution Party of Canada leader Dr. James Sears was declared a terrorist by Federal Minister of Canada Post, Liberal Party's Judy Foote, for speaking the truth about Israel and the Holocaust. He is no longer allowed to use the Postal Service and distribute his newspapers.
2003, Israel was the cheerleaders for the war in Iraq. 2006, it went into war in Lebanon. 2008, 2009, it attacked Gaza. Now it talks about attacking Iran. If you read the Israeli papers every day, they talk about, should we attack Gaza? Should we attack Lebanon? Should we attack Syria? Name me another country in the world that falls into that category.
Well,
that's a lunatic state.
After teaching at DePaul University for 6 years, Jewish professor Norman Finkelstein was denied tenure for speaking the truth about Israel, Holocaust reparations, and exposing Harvard professor Alan Dershowitz for plagiarizing to create novels in defense of Israel. Professor Stephen Salida was fired for tweeting about Israel during their bombing campaign in Gaza. Jeremy Bowen was removed from his reporting position in Gaza for saying he found no evidence of human shields and that Hamas was actually helping the children. Whereas so many people in the media are paid to say Hamas uses human shields without showing any evidence.
People are looking in the wrong direction instead of the real culprits. This party, we were approached. I was approached. We were offered money from the United States. And all they wanted was two things. They only wanted us to concentrate on Islam, and I yield to no one in my criticism of Islam and grooming. I put my neck on the line. Many of you have put your neck on the line as well. But it's not the only problem. And they wanted us only to focus on that, and it only came with one other thing. They wanted us to drop our criticism of the banking system. Those were the only two things. We had to concentrate on talking about Muslims, and we had to drop our criticism of the international banking system. And I refused, and we refused. That was in about 2007. And all hell broke loose, really, from that time, when systematically they tried to take this party apart.
Former president of the British National Party, Nick Griffin, also spoke about the Jewish Zionist plan to ethnicize white Europeans. In fact, this is something that many Jews are publicly campaigning for, yet he was labeled an anti-Semite and expelled.
An unholy alliance of leftists, capitalists, and Zionist supremacists has schemed to promote immigration and miscegenation with the deliberate aim of breeding us out of existence in our own homelands.
Hi Nick, isn't it about time you apologise to the British people for your party's long history of anti-Semitism? Why don't you apologise, you gutless coward?
People to get the picture.
Yeah.
So they shut up talking about don't Jew me. You understand?
Yep.
In other words, they don't say Michael Jackson is a very bad person and he should be convicted of this child molestation because he said don't Jew me in a song. They're too smart now. Yeah. Not before they made a big story out of it, but now they're in a different stage. Now they're really going after him.
Yeah.
And they don't want people to get the picture.
Yeah.
To see the real motivation.
Right.
C'est pour ça que c'est l'autocensure, ça, Jamel. Si on, tu comprends ce que je veux dire? Si on commence à pas faire de dessin pour pas choquer les musulmans,
non,
si on fait,
pour
c'est,
moi,
c'est de l'autocensure. C'est la fin de la liberté d'expression.
Pour moi, la liberté d'expression. Pour moi, hein, la liberté d'expression et le respect font partie, sont mariés ensemble. Tu peux, moi, je suis pour la liberté d'expression. Mais si je vais blesser une personne, pourquoi blesser la personne ?
Non, mais si moi, j'ai envie de faire une caricature sur Mahomet ou sur un rabbin ou sur Jésus-Christ, il faut que j'ai le droit de le faire. Tu comprends ? C'est
non,
ça, la France.
Quand tu sais que tu vas blesser 10 millions de personnes, pourquoi tu vas les blesser ? Pourquoi ?
C'est la liberté, c'est ça.
Quand... C'est la liberté de... Alors...
C'est tellement surprenant, c'est tellement inadmissible que j'en suis choqué. Voilà.
Dans un pays où on peut parler, on peut s'exprimer. Et là, pourquoi tout d'un coup, sur un sujet, on ne pourrait pas s'exprimer sur ce sujet?
Vous savez bien pourquoi on ne peut pas s'exprimer.
Pourquoi?
Parce que dans ce pays, on a envoyé pendant la guerre des juifs dans des chambres à gaz. Et que ça crée un petit problème quand même. Vous voyez
mais
ce que
dans
je veux dire.
Ce pays, on a envoyé pendant 400 ans des centaines de millions de Noirs et 400 ans d'esclavage. Et pourtant, ça n'a pas empêché Michel Led de faire un sketch qui m'a fait marrer.
Ouais.
Où il faisait un Noir, puis à la fin, il faisait un singe. Et
ouais.
En parlant des narines, en parlant des lunettes. En tout cas, lui, il n'a pas été interdit d'exercer son travail. Il a même eu la Légion d'honneur.
Quelqu'un qui a toute sa famille qui a été exterminée dans un camp de concentration et qui voit quelqu'un à la télé qui dit Israël. Vous vous rendez compte, ça, je sais pas. Mais on peut pas. Il y a des moments où même si on connaît les gens, même si on les a invités, on leur dit non, c'est plus possible. Comme Alain Soral, qu'on a reçu ici d'ailleurs.
On avait reçu Alain Soral.
Mais qu'on recevra plus, parce que compte tenu de ce qu'il a dit, on peut pas le recevoir. Mais vous vous rendez compte de ce que vous arrivez à dire.
Je trouve incroyable que j'ai pu faire un sketch sur le Molla Jean-Christophe, j'ai pu faire un sketch sur le curé. Ouais. Là, je fais un sketch sur un colon israélien, ouais. Et tout d'un coup, c'est l'hystérie.
Non, non. Moi, je vous trouve, vous savez bien, je vous ai toujours trouvé très drôle et en plus très bon comédien. Et je suis un peu désolé, pour vous dire la vérité, je vous parle amicalement, je suis un peu désolé de vous voir vous enfoncer là-dedans, parce que c'est peut-être la dernière fois que je vous invite, Diodo.
It looks like Michael Jackson was right. The Jews do it on purpose. Jewish organizations are publicly pushing for gun control in America. Ted Nugent spoke out on this, and the ADL labeled him an anti-Semite for simply speaking the truth.
Any comments on Israel? We're asking everybody today, any comments on Israel?
Tell them to get the hell out of Palestine.
Ooh. Any better comments?
Remember, these people are occupied, and it's their land, not German, it's not Poland.
So where should they go? What should they do?
They go home.
Where's the home?
Poland.
So the Jews,
Germany.
The Jews go back to Poland and Germany?
And America and everywhere else. Why push people out of there who have lived there for centuries?
89-year-old White House correspondent Helen Thomas spoke the truth about Israel and lost her job. Meanwhile, Israeli lawmaker Ayelet Shaked publicly called for genocide, but instead of losing her job, Netanyahu promoted her to justice minister.
IPAC and other influential American Jewish groups are extraordinarily involved in the funding of American political campaigns, and have the ability to reach out and make sure that people lose their jobs or are otherwise hurt if they dare to criticize Israel. I lost the job last year simply because I said that I suspected Mr. Obama would maintain traditional U.S. policy toward Israel, and that cost me a job that was both a position and a salary.
To be honest, I didn't even know what a Zionist was. All I knew was that I had been asked to sign a pledge for Israel when I first became a candidate for Congress. And after refusing to do so, my congressional career became trench warfare, hand-to-hand combat, just to remain in the Congress. Ever since my refusal to sign that pledge for Israel, the pro-Israel lobby let me know that my political neck was in the hangman's noose. I'm saddened when I hear people say they are afraid. Afraid of what? Knowing that your government has been hijacked and that those in charge will lie to you? Such knowledge should actually set us free to do what we must to maintain our own dignity. The meme of division is developed by those who write the scripts in order to pit us against each other. That way, we forget to focus on those who plan September 11th, those who profiteer from war and killing, and those who, like cowards, vote to send our young men and women off to fight someone else's wars or worse, remain silent even while whole countries are being destroyed.
First off, how is it possible that anybody with any kind of sanity would consider the United States or Britain or the West in general to be in any kind of position to be punishing anyone for any illegalities? If we want to take a look at Iraq, there is at least 1 million, probably even close to 2 million dead. We invaded that country, destroyed it, created millions of orphans, millions of refugees, and never even so much as apologized for that. Let's go back to Vietnam, where we dropped 20 million bombs, more than all of World War II combined. We have destroyed so many countries. We have tortured and killed and maimed and raped around this planet. Who in the hell in their right mind would consider the United States or the West in general to be in any position to punish anybody? And these mouthpieces, such as this gentleman in Washington, is only doing a disservice to himself and his country. And the fact is that American sons and daughters will get involved in this yet again, and these chicken hawks who are pretending to care about the Syrian people are going to be sacrificing not their own sons and daughters. I would like this man to send his sons and daughters and his grandchildren off to Syria when this turns into a greater conflict, because this is what we're flirting with, is a world war, a third world war. This is not a joke. We are flirting with a third world war on the basis that apparently we care so much about the Syrian people, just like we care so much about the Iraqi people and the Afghani people. The only people that buy this sort of stuff are either bought off prostitutes or the dumbest of the dumb. And we're also led to believe that Assad is the dumbest idiot dictator on the planet now, isn't he? Because he invited UN inspectors to come in, and he brought them in on the very day that they come in. He decides to attack his own people 10 miles away from where the inspectors arrive. This is beyond ridiculous. And the only people that buy this, again, are bought off prostitutes or the dumbest of the dumb.
One of the greatest peace activists of our generation, former Marine Ken O'Keefe, who was also on board the Mavi Marmara aid ship, where Israeli Defense Forces murdered 10 civilians, was labeled an anti-Semite and attacked by the JDL.
There he is.
When he walks into the room and you realize this guy is 6'3 or 6'4, he never raises his voice. He doesn't pound the table or use his fist. He's not a fiery orator. He's soft-spoken. But the words he was using were extremely powerful and frightening. He had three principal issues. One was remove the U.S. military presence from Saudi Arabia. The other was to end the U.S. support of Israel, particularly as it affected negatively the Palestinians. And three was, at that time, an immediate halt to the bombing of Iraq, and even still now today, an end to sanctions that he felt adversely affected Iraqi women and children and innocents.
We have heard that 500,000 children have died. I mean, that's more children than died in Hiroshima. And you know, is the price worth it?
I think this is a very hard choice, but we think the price is worth it.
Mr. Bin Laden, you have declared a jihad against the United States. Can you tell us why?
The U.S. government has committed acts that are extremely unjust, hideous, and criminal through its support of the Israeli occupation of Palestine. And we believe the U.S. is directly responsible for those killed in Palestine, Lebanon, and Iraq. Due to its subordination to the Jews, the arrogance of the United States regime has reached the point that they occupied Arabia, the holiest place of the Muslims, who are more than 1 billion people in the world today. The U.S. today has set a double standard, calling whoever goes against its injustice a terrorist. It wants to occupy our countries, steal our resources, impose agents on us to rule us, and then wants us to agree to all this. If we refuse to do so, it says we are terrorists. When Palestinian children throw stones against the Israeli occupation, the U.S. says they are terrorists. Whereas when Israel bombed the United Nations building in Lebanon, while it was full of children and women, the U.S. stopped any plan to condemn Israel. If there is a message that I may send through you, I address the mothers of the American troops. To these mothers I say, if they are concerned for their sons, then let them object to the U.S. government's policy.
If you boycott against Israel, New York will boycott you. If you divert revenues from Israel, New York will divert revenues from you. If you sanction Israel, New York will sanction you. Period.
Henry Ford, founder of the Ford Motor Company, assembled a staff of experts to research the origin of European Jews who had been entering America in large numbers since the 1880s. Ford's research cost him several millions of dollars, and in 1923, he published the results in a four-volume work titled The International Jew. It was Henry Ford's conclusion that the Jews were not descendants of the biblical Israelites. Ford further proved that these Jews committing all sorts of crimes while under the cover of being called chosen people of the Bible were rapidly taking economic and political control of America. Henry Ford also claimed that the Jews had secretly gained control of most Protestant seminaries and Christian book publishing houses and had been able to remove almost all criticism of Jews from Christian literature. In summing up his findings, Henry Ford stated, "The Jews are not the chosen people, though practically the entire church has succumbed to the propaganda which declares them to be so." Ford's book caused a major uproar for a few years, but soon disappeared from colleges, universities, and public libraries and became unobtainable at any price.
Lobbying is legal bribing. AIPAC lobbies American politicians and Congress with a foreign government's backing. AIPAC was formerly the American Zionist Council. Grant F. Smith, director of the Institute for Research, Middle Eastern Policy, detailed documents about the American Zionist Council delaying the Foreign Agents Registration Act 7 times until Robert Kennedy was murdered. Afterwards, they were never required to register. Strangely, Robert Kennedy's death was blamed on a Palestinian who couldn't remember his name at the time. His revolver could only hold 8 bullets. 13 gunshots were recorded that day. Who got arrested on 9/11 and used the same Palestinian excuse before?
Among jubilant Palestinians that the United States had been subject to this attack. What are we to make of that, Jennifer? Yasser Arafat may issue this condemnation. Look at this. We're seeing people applauding, clapping, smiling, happy to know that thousands of Americans have died in this sneak attack. And there you see a V for victory sign.
And no official of my administration, whether his rank is high or low, civilian or military, should interpret my words here tonight as an excuse to censor the news, to stifle dissent, to cover up our mistakes, or to withhold from the press and the public the facts they deserve to know. For we are opposed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that relies primarily on covert means for expanding its sphere of influence, on infiltration instead of invasion, on subversion instead of elections, on intimidation instead of free choice, on guerrillas by night instead of armies by day. It is a system which has conscripted vast human and material resources into the building of a tightly knit, highly efficient machine that combines military, diplomatic, intelligence, economic, scientific, and political operations. Its preparations are concealed, not published. Its mistakes are buried, not headlined. Its dissenters are silenced, not praised. No expenditure is questioned, no rumor is printed, no secret is revealed. No president should fear public scrutiny of his program, for from that scrutiny comes understanding, and from that understanding comes support or opposition, and both are necessary. I am not asking your newspapers to support an administration, but I am asking your help in the tremendous task of informing and alerting the American people. For I have complete confidence and the response and dedication of our citizens whenever they are fully informed. I not only could not stifle controversy among your readers, I welcome it. This administration intends to be candid about its errors. For as a wise man once said, an error doesn't become a mistake until you refuse to correct it. This means greater coverage and analysis of international news. For it is no longer far away and foreign, but close at hand and local. It means greater attention to improved understanding of the news, as well as improved transmission. And it means, finally, that government at all levels must meet its obligation to provide you with the fullest possible information outside the narrowest limits of national security. And so it is to the printing press, to the recorder of man's deeds, the keeper of his conscience, the courier of his news, that we look for strength and assistance, confident that with your help, man will be what he was born to be, free and independent.
And Brian Gumbel says, what are you talking about? He only gets $3 billion. And I said, Brian, that's only the foreign aid bill. Look at all the other trade compacts, economic assistance, military assistance. I'm saying this to you right now. Israel gets approximately $15 billion a year from the American taxpayers. That $15 billion is $30,000 for every man, woman, and child. People in my district are losing their pension benefits. So I was targeted big time. And if someone doesn't look into this, the American people should be ashamed of themselves. When you allow one American to be violated, you threaten the freedoms of every American. And I can't understand this, why no one in Congress is raising their voice. And the reason is very simple. This may be you don't want to hear, I don't know. And I certainly don't want to hurt you on your show. You have one of the best. You're fair. But I believe that Israel has a powerful stranglehold on the American government. They control both members of the House and the Senate. They have us involved in wars of which we have little or no interest. Our children are coming back in body bags. Our nation is bankrupt over these wars. And if you open your mouth, you get targeted.
Are you an anti-Semite?
No, I'm not. That's exactly what they're going to say. And I expect that. What I am is an American. You see, I think America comes first. America is in danger if America doesn't take back the government.